morning, excuse me. How about we go ahead and just pray and ask the Lord to bless the message, that He'd impress its truth upon our heart today. Father, we come to You and ask that You would just open our hearts, open our eyes, that You'd help us to understand Your Word, that You would help us to be humble and apply it to where we need to, that You'd help us, as David did in Psalm 51, to take responsibility for our sin and where we do not match up to who Your Son, Jesus Christ, is. And Lord, we know we're not going to be perfect, but I pray that You'd help us to grow this morning, that You'd help us to consistently be growing, that our love for You would grow, that our heart for You would grow, and that Your name would be glorified in Christ's name. Amen. So when I was in college, you can't really tell now, but when I went in as a freshman, I was 6'2" and about 160 pounds. Okay, so I was like really, really, really skinny. I looked like a beanpole. And so one of the things that I really wanted to do is I wanted to gain some weight. So I went to the workout room at the college where I went and started to work out. Now, when you walk into a gym or into a workout room, you kind of notice a lot of different type of people, right? Like, you can kind of tell a lot about their personality, who they are. And a lot of them, when I first walked in, the first thing that struck me was, man, there are a lot of people here who know what they're doing. I mean, they know how to use these machines. I've never used that before. They know what they're doing. They've got a certain amount of reps. They've got like a piece of paper. They're checking stuff off. And they're like really into this working out thing. But then you also look around and you see people who are more into the mirrors around the room than really into the workout machines, right? Like, the guys are there and they're constantly like flexing, like checking themselves out in the mirror. And like, I'm like, dude, you haven't worked out in like 30 minutes. Like, you need to calm down checking yourself out. Or you have the people who, when you go in there, all they do is like talk. And you're like, dude, these weights are not going to lift themselves. You can't be here and just like talk to your friends and pretend that you're working out. They want to feel good about themselves. So they come in, they hang out, and they leave like 45 minutes to an hour later after doing one exercise. And so there's all kinds of different people that are in these workout rooms, but there are some other people who you look at them, and every time you see them in there every day, they only work out like the same muscles. Like, they always want to be working out their arms. They're doing like curls, and their biceps are huge, but everything else is small. And one of the guy's favorite things to work out is like to do the bench press. Like, that's kind of like the benchmark of like how strong you are. When you ask somebody, hey, what do you bench? You're asking, hey, how strong are you? And so you see these guys in there who are constantly working out their upper body, but their legs are like toothpicks. They kind of look like this guy walking around, right? Like, you see pictures and all they care about is their upper body, and they skipped leg day, right? That's a big joke within people who worked out. Never skip leg day. And they have to have like a balanced view of health, a balanced view of exercise. You got to have a whole body workout. You've got to exercise every different part of your body and develop everything. And when we exercise physically, we've got to build upon the basics, right? Like, when you go in there the first time, you're not going to put 300 pounds on the bar and try to bench press it. You've got to build up to that, right? Like, most people aren't just naturally that strong. You've got to build upon the basics and build a foundation. And the same thing when we're thinking spiritually, we've got to build upon the building blocks. And sometimes I think we try to skip the foundational things of our Christian faith and try to skip right to a different aspect of our spiritual walk with the Lord. And we need to be well-balanced. We need to be not overdeveloped in one specific area that's going to make something else go out of whack. And spiritually, sometimes, we're going to talk about some areas today where this may be us spiritually. Like, we're really strong here, but we haven't really had that foundation to build upon. And that's kind of causing some things in our Christian life to kind of get out of focus and out of whack. So some of my fear for you guys, and I remember as a teenager, is that you are kind of just like floating through life, right? Not everybody, but I remember feeling like this, like, hey, whatever happens, happens. And I just kind of have to respond to it. We're not preparing for anything. We're used to having people around us that support us, that help us. We're used to parents. We're used to teachers. But at some point, guys, you've got to turn that corner to where it's real for you, to where you have a personal relationship with God. And some of you have. Some of you, that's still in your future. And you need to really get down to the foundation of why do we do what we do in order to build upon that. And you need to personalize your faith. It's got to be real to you. You have to walk with God because, guys, no one else can do it for you. I can preach my heart out every Wednesday, every Sunday, and if you're not ready to receive it because you don't really care about walking with the Lord, it's not going to affect you. God's word will not return void because you have to soften your hearts and receive God's word and respond to it. Maybe your parents have been telling you over and over things that they want you to do, but your heart really isn't there. And in Ephesians chapter 4, God tells us that He's given us pastors, teachers, evangelists. He goes on with a list of people. So the basic principle I want you guys to understand is God has placed people in your lives for this reason. Let's read Ephesians 4, starting in verse 12. He's given people for the perfecting of the saints, that, hey, believers would become complete, that they would mature for the work of the ministry, that every believer, not just certain believers, minister for the edifying of the body of Christ, that every single one of you would be part of building up the body of Christ, building up the church. That's some of the purposes of your Christian life. So guys, examine yourself. Are you ministering? Are you growing? Are you edifying? Are you building other people up? Or are your words tearing people down? And as I listen, as I observe, that's another big burden of mine for you, because I hear things that come out of our mouths sometimes, and they're more tearing down than building up. And we need to grow to the point where we are building up and not tearing down. And that goes for all of us. Number 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. So again, the purpose of this is unity. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, a complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children. Pause. You've got to grow up. We can't be children. What identifies a child? Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. So again, we're going to pause. An immature believer is someone who gets tossed around by people's opinions, by your own opinions, by circumstances of life, by our emotions. So guys, I want you to examine as we are going through this series, do I really have a foundation in Jesus Christ, in the Word of God, or am I just kind of tossed about? Like whatever people tell me, whatever people's opinions are, you put those over God's opinions. And carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive us. Satan wants us to be deceived. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. God's given people to speak truth in love. So as we go through this series a little bit, there's going to be some confrontational moments. But know that it comes from a heart of love. First of all, from God. He confronts us in His Word, but also from me. And know that this is what God has called us to do, to confront one another. So what is some of those foundational things we've got to lay down? And why is this even so important? We touched on it on Wednesday. The reason that you and I exist is to glorify God. And you guys hear that over and over and over and over again. But what does that really mean? It means that my life is supposed to give the right opinion of who God is. The lost and dying world, the people who don't know Christ, are supposed to be able to see God. We are His ambassadors on this earth. We're to glorify Him, to showcase His majesty. But how can I give the right opinion of God if I personally don't have the right opinion of God? We're going to fall very short of our purpose as believers if even we don't have the right opinion of who God is. And we're tossed about with every wind of doctrine to and fro. So what's the feedback here? What are some ways that we can tend, and this is kind of a broad question, what are some ways that we can tend to have a wrong view of God? Chris? Yeah, we view Him sometimes like a magic genie. Like, hey, my prayer is like me rubbing the lamp, and you pop out and you give me what I want when I want it. Yes, Katie? Yeah, we have this wrong view of God, that God just wants to discipline us all the time. That, hey, if you step out of line, like He's going to pull out the whip and correct us. Wrong view of God. And if you don't have a correct view of who God is in that way, it's going to be really hard to serve Him if you're like, hey, God, I'm going to do this, but if I mess up, don't punish me, right? What else? How can we have a wrong view of God? Josiah. Yeah, we can see that He's a strict God who gives restrictions but not good things. Bible tells us that He gives good gifts. Anything else? Take one or two more. Landon. Yeah, we may view God as kind of fickle. Like, hey, today I feel like answering your prayer. Tomorrow I don't. And we kind of have this view of God that he's like we are. Like, we're moody. And we can have a wrong view of God that God can be moody, right? And God is consistent. God is never changing. He's always the same. And if we don't have these foundational things built upon who God is, we can have a very hard time serving him. So we're going to lay some foundation of understanding of what our faith is built on. We're going to do some very basic things. And very basic statement, you must continually grow in your keyword, personal relationship with Christ. You must continually grow in your personal relationship with Christ. So question this morning, are you stagnant? Have you been kind of in the same place spiritually? You haven't gotten to know God more. You haven't been in his word anymore. Have you been stagnant for a long period of time? Maybe you're here and you're apathetic. You know what? You just don't care. Like, hey, I mess up. Whatever. Hey, you know what? God is loving. Whatever. And like, we just don't care. Do you even understand what it means to be a Christian? Because a lot of times we have a misconception, first of all, of what it means to be a Christian, but second of all, what it means to be growing as a Christian. So as I was doing some reading on this topic, because I knew this is where we were heading, I read an article by John MacArthur. And he had some really helpful points that I'm going to use as kind of jumping off points. I'm going to flesh them out. I studied through them and prayed through them, but he worded them very well. So we're going to use kind of his main points. I want to give him credit. It's not original with me, but they were very helpful for me. And he talks about some issues that we often confuse with spiritual growth. Because we all know we're supposed to be growing. But what does it actually look like? What are some wrong views? Today, this is where we're going to start, of spiritual growth. He says that spiritual growth is not a matter of, first of all, your position in Christ. Now, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, because we did on Wednesday. Guys, you are secure in what God has declared you to be. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The only condition there is that you're saved. If you are in Christ, you are a new creature. That is your position. You are righteous. He's declared you righteous. You are holy and blameless, Ephesians 1 verse 4 says. Guys, old things are passed away. You are changed inside. God has made you a different person. So a lot of you have played on a sports team, right? Even when you're a little kid, maybe a few of you haven't, but usually, even if we don't like sports, our parents like try to force us to play one, right? So like, you're a little kid and you're playing a sport, and let's just say that like your coach comes to you and he's like, hey, this is your position. You are supposed to play right here, okay? Now, just because you are awful, maybe awful at that position, does that mean you're no longer part of the team? No. I mean, like, hey, you're playing soccer, you're center striker or center forward, and maybe you're awful at it. You stink at it. But you're still part of that team. But sometimes we have a position in Christ, and we may be not living for God, and in our minds we are stinking at being a Christian. And you know what? Hey, I'm awful at this. That does not mean that you're no longer a Christian. When I was really young and I played T-ball, oftentimes my position that I played a lot was shortstop. And when it was in T-ball, I could always tell where the batter was about to hit the ball based on like how they stood, right? They'd always turn funny, and I knew where the ball was going to go. So one time, this kid stood up, and he was about to hit the ball, and I was shortstop, but I looked over at our first baseman, which is where I knew the ball was going to go, and he was awful. I mean, I knew the ball was going to go to him, and he wasn't going to catch it. So I took from shortstop, I walked all the way, and I stood right in front of him. So what do you think my coach did? He didn't bench me, but he stopped everything. He said, hey, Brandon, that's not your position. Go back to shortstop. You don't play there, right? And goes to hit the ball, and guess where it goes? First base, and it goes right through the guy's wickets. It's like, and I'm like, come on. And I'm like frustrated. I'm mad. And I was like, hey, I stood there. I went there, and I was out of position. And a lot of times, just because we are not playing our position as if we're supposed, like we're supposed to, we're not living our Christian life perfectly, does not mean that our position has changed. I could stand in front of the first baseman, but I was shortstop. That was my position. And guys, you are a Christian. You are a believer. You are a child of God. Even though you sin, it doesn't mean that you're no longer a Christian. You have a position that is fixed in Jesus Christ. You don't have to work your way into becoming a Christian. So your Christian growth has nothing about your position in Christ, and it's about what God declares you to be, but it's also not about how much God loves you. Here's another way that we can have a false view of God. We can think that, hey, if I'm not living my life right, God is going to love me less. And Romans chapter 5, we talked about on Wednesday night as well. God loved us while we were sinners. He loves everyone perfectly, and He loves everyone totally. Romans chapter 8, speaking specifically to believers, nothing can separate you from God's love. Nothing. Okay, so just because you may not have grown as much as you'd like, or maybe you have gone backwards this past year, you're not growing like you should be, it doesn't mean that God loves you any less. Your Christian growth does not mean that, hey, when you grow, when you read your Bible, God's going to love you more tomorrow. That's not what Christian growth is all about. Apparently, as I'm watching like movies and I'm looking back on childhood, the most prized possession that a child can have is a best friend, right? You ever see one of those movies and they're like, hey, if you do this for me, I'll be your best friend. And you're like, oh, sweet. Yeah, great. And like, as an adult, that's not a big deal to us. But remember how big of a deal that was as a little kid? Remember you had a friend that you thought was your best friend and they're like, you're not my best friend. Like, how hurtful was that? Like, that was like a prized possession as a little kid. And you know what? People can often say, especially little kids, I will be your best friend if. But you know that God is never going to say anything like that to you? He's never going to say, I will love you more if, fill in the blank. That is not who God is. God's love is constant. God's love is unchanging. And we can sometimes, have you ever felt like this as well? Like sometimes you mess up at home. And you're like, hey, if my parents ever find out about this, they're going to love me less. Or they're going to like my brother more. Maybe I'm the only one who thought about that when I was a kid, but like I had four brothers and sisters, and I often thought, hey, if mom and dad found out I did this, they're going to like love Bryce better, right? And sometimes we have that same view of God, that, hey, I messed up, and God loves me less. Guys, your spiritual growth does not mean that as you're growing, God loves you more, and as you're struggling, God loves you less. I'm going to point something out. Please don't kick each other. I don't know what's going on, but I'm getting distracted, so I'm sure other people are as well. So try to focus in right up here. This is important. So God does not love you less. God does not love you more based on your performance. Christian growth has nothing to do with how much God loves you. You do not gain favor with God the longer you walk with Him. It's not about how much God loves you. But should God's constant love be a motivation for you to serve Him? It's not like, hey, I'm going to love you more if, Seth, you go on the mission field. That's not what God is going to say to us. But I should want to serve Him because His love is constant for us. Also, I am getting very distracted this morning by people passing notes, whispering. This is not the time for this. This is God's Word. So let's make sure that this is where we're focusing, okay? And I'm saying that, truth and love, this is important. Please don't distract each other, pass notes, poke each other. Let's stay focused on God's Word this morning, okay? So it's not about God's love. Now, Elena, my daughter, she gets pretty disappointed at this point in her life when she makes us unhappy, when she does something that displeases us, right? Like all of a sudden the other day, she's like at a restaurant and she takes her food and she throws it on the floor. And I go, Elena, she knows I just displeased her. She just displeased me. And she like got the poochy lip and she got really sad and she just like, she wasn't crying. She wasn't mad. She just was upset that she disappointed us. And that's how we should, that should be our motivation for God. My love for Elena didn't change. God's love for us never changes, but it should motivate me to serve Him. So it's not about our position. It's not about how much God loves you. And also it's not about time. A lot of times we can think, hey, you know what? 10 years down the road, my relationship with God is going to be exactly where it needs to be. You can't look forward to a specific date or when you get to college or when you get married as like a benchmark of like, hey, you know what? When I get there, something's magically going to happen and my life is going to turn around. Spiritual growth is not about time. We've all known people who've like just gotten saved and they grow super fast, really quickly. Or we all know people who've been saved for a long time who seem to be in the same place for a very, very long time. You need to be getting to know God right now. I recently, within the past couple years, I started a retirement account. Right now, when I started this retirement account, I had like visions of grandeur. They're like, I'm going to go in like 5 years, I'm going to look in there, there's going to be like $1 million for my retirement. And I was like, this is going to be awesome. And I had all these ideas of like, hey, when I retire, I'm going to have all kinds of money. I'm not going to have to worry about anything because I'm starting my retirement account in my 20s, right? Like, this is a big deal. Most people don't do this. I'm going to be rich when I'm old. So I had all these visions of grandeur. And sometimes I will look at the balance. I don't do it except for like every couple months, hoping that for some reason it's like shot up in price. And every time I look, I'm disappointed, right? Like it's grown, but it hasn't grown as much as I was hoping it would. And why? Because I haven't put like a bunch of extra investments into it. I haven't invested a bunch of money into it and put a big lump sum into it. It's growing steadily, and it's good. But if I don't invest into it, it's not going to grow. Guys, if you don't invest in your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it's not going to grow. And we may have like these visions of grandeur that, hey, when I hit 25, all of a sudden, I'm going to have like this perfect relationship with Christ. Everything's going to fall into place. And you have not been investing your time and your energy into building your relationship with Jesus Christ. It'd be stupid of me to think that I'm going to go into my investment account and see millions and millions of dollars if I don't put any money into it, if I skip deposits for 2 years. Guys, some of you have been skipping deposits of God's word into your heart for years. You haven't been spending time with God, praying. You haven't been in His Word. And then you get frustrated that you're not growing more. And then what do we tend to do? We tend to blame it on God. Hey, you know what? You're not answering my prayers, so I'm not going to pray anymore. Hey, you know what? I'm not understanding your Word when I read it once every 3 weeks, so I'm not going to read it anymore. You're not speaking to me. And we start to blame it on God. And guys, you have to be investing in your relationship with God, because God promises this: if you draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. James. In the book of James, he says this. He promises that you draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. Have you been investing in your relationship with God? He wants a relationship with you. Do you want one with Him? And maybe you have the desire, but you don't have the drive to actually put investments into your account of your relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't need to wait an amount of time to grow. That's not what spiritual growth is not all about. But it's also not about knowledge only. Here's an area where it is really easy to get out of balance real quick. That we think that, hey, we have all this knowledge, and somebody could look at us, and just like that picture of the Hulk up there, somebody can think, man, they skipped leg day, right? Like, they have all this knowledge up in their head, and it's puffed up, but then their foundation, their walk with Christ, I mean, it's weak. And sometimes we can think that because we know a lot, we are growing. Or that we don't have to grow, that we've got it all figured out, that I know all the answers, I know all the passages. And listen to what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 8:1, it says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. So what is he even talking about, that knowledge puffeth up? It makes you prideful. It gives you a big head. It makes you think you've got everything figured out. And knowledge alone has that tendency to puff us up, to make us prideful. You know what the Bible also tells me? That God resists the proud. So if your goal is to grow spiritually, and you're in this mindset of, hey, I know all these things, and you are prideful, and you think you've got it all figured out, God is resisting the prideful, the proud. You're not going to see much spiritual growth, are you? Humble yourself, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. He resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. So according to the Reader's Digest in 2014, there was a guy named A.J. Jacobs. He was an editor of a magazine. What he decided to do, he decided to get all the knowledge he could by reading all of the Encyclopedia Britannicas from start to finish. Okay, so what he did, he took 1 year and 55 days to read 32 volumes, 33,000 pages, and 44 million words. So Who Wants to Be a Millionaire actually heard about this guy who read all the Encyclopedia Britannicas. They asked him onto the show. So he gets onto the show, and A.J. Jacobs, he's there, and all of his studying didn't really help. He gets to the $32,000 question. They ask him, what is an erythrocyte? And even though he'd read all the Encyclopedia Britannica, everything under E, he didn't know that it was red blood cells, so he missed it. He walked away with $1,000, and he went home, and he started to write this book, and he called it Know-It-All. I read all these things, I thought I knew it all, and I get on the show, and he talked about how that was a very humbling experience for him. But this is some of us with the Bible, isn't it? You think you're a spiritual know-it-all. You think you've got all this knowledge, you've got all these facts, and you know them, but you're not applying them. And God's word has got to change you. And this is called wisdom. You know facts and you apply those facts. Knowledge is good. The Bible tells us to have knowledge about Jesus Christ. It's going to help us grow, going to help us change. But you cannot just think because you know a lot of things about the Bible that your relationship with Him is okay. It's not about facts, because guys, your head can be full and your heart can be completely empty. Your head can be full of knowledge and full of facts, but your heart is empty of affection for God. Is that some of you this morning? That, hey, you think you know it all. You think you've got it all together. You know all these facts. You've been going to church and Sunday school for years, but your heart is empty of affection for God. Because going back to that verse, 1 Corinthians 8:1, knowledge puffs up. It makes us big. But then at the second half of that verse, it says, charity or love, it edifieth or it builds up. So guys, knowledge in itself, it makes you prideful, it puffs up, and love builds up. It builds you up and it builds other people up. Guys, what do you have to do? Confess your lack of love for God. Look to the second half of that verse. Ask God to grow your love for Him. Because it's not about your position. It's not about how much God loves you, your time, your knowledge. And here's another one that oftentimes we get very confused with spiritual growth, activity. So let me explain this. There are many, not all of you, but there are many of you that are here this morning who you like grew up here. You met each other in the nursery. You like fought each other in the nursery, right? There's a lot of you who are here, again, not everybody, but you are in or around a church building 4 to 6 days a week. And you are very busy at church. You're involved. You do children's ministry. You're in the choir. You go to activities. You go to 5 o'clock hour. You're at Sunday school. You're in Wednesday night. You're here every time the church doors are open. And you are very busy in activity. You've been on mission trips. And this is not a blanket statement, but many of you may have started using that as a measuring stick for your spirituality. You know what? I'm doing. I'm doing all these things, so I must be okay with God. This is not what spiritual growth is. Spiritual growth is not just activity and doing things. And maybe you've thought to yourself, what else can I do? I mean, I'm here all the time. I'm in a church all the time. What else can I do? I mean, I've done all the activities. I can be playing basketball all the time, but that does not mean that I'm ever going to beat LeBron James one-on-one, right? I mean, there's no way. He is like a freak of a human being. He would destroy me at basketball, but I could be busy in activity of going and practicing basketball all the time. And even though I might be practicing basketball all the time, does that even mean that I'm going to be getting better? No. Have you ever heard the saying, practice makes perfect? Yeah, you probably heard it. I like to tweak it a little bit. A lot of people do. Perfect practice makes perfect. You can be practicing the wrong thing all the time. And you can get into some very bad habits, even in the realm of basketball. You can fade away on every shot when you don't need to. You can get into a lot of bad habits and a lot of different things when you practice things wrong. So question, are you getting into bad spiritual habits because of how busy in ministry you think you are? Because you're doing things all the time. I would say that it would be a very bad habit spiritually to constantly be sitting under preaching and to be constantly ignoring it. To constantly be sitting under preaching and never respond to it, never confess sin, never allow the Holy Spirit when He prompts you, never obey and submit to that. That is a very bad spiritual habit. And we can be so busy in activity and not really, and it's not a bad thing, but if you allow that to become your mark of spirituality, you're falling short. And we can think all the time that, hey, I'm doing things. So question, were the Pharisees very busy in religious activity? Yeah. I mean, there was nobody else on the face of the planet who was more religious than the Pharisees. But read Matthew 7:22-23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These are people that are doing, and they're always busy, always in activity, always doing something. They're very religious, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're growing. It doesn't even necessarily mean that they know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they know God. And the Bible does say And just because you're in church every time the doors are open doesn't mean that you're growing. The Bible does teach that you can't be growing without being in the church. You have to consistently be meeting and having fellowship under God's word and with other believers, keeping each other accountable. But just because you're here doesn't mean you're truly worshiping God. Have you allowed this lie of the devil to think that, hey, just because you're busy and you're always at church, always at activities, to mean that you're okay spiritually, that you're growing? There's one more thing I'd like to consider before we dismiss this morning that we often confuse with spiritual growth, prosperity. And you hear a lot of people talk about the prosperity gospel. Hey, if you follow Christ, you're going to have everything your heart could ever desire. You're going to have everything you ever want. You're going to be rich. And let's be honest, here in Indianapolis, this is a pretty affluent area. A lot of us have a lot more than even a lot of people in the United States. And we can take that for granted. And sometimes if we're not thinking about it, we complain about a lot because we think we deserve more. But just because we have a lot, and maybe some of you thought, man, I have so much. My parents make it very comfortable. I get a lot of things that a lot of people don't have. I must be right with God. And we confuse that, hey, just because God is blessing means that I'm prosperous, everything must be okay, I'm growing spiritually because my bank account is growing. And you might be thinking, if God hasn't taken something that I love in a long time, everything's good. I'm fine. But in Psalm 73, the psalmist, his name is Asaph, we've looked at this before in Sunday school, he's looking around and he's looking at all types of people and he's becoming jealous of them. Look at verse 3, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Wicked people were having riches. Verse 12, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches." So wicked people can have prosperity. The Bible tells us that. And material prosperity does not mean that God is blessing. But also, guys, nor does it mean that just because maybe you don't have, that something's off, that you're not growing, that you're not blessed. You cannot look at your circumstances, whatever it is, relationships, money, riches, prosperity, any of those things, you cannot look at your circumstances and try to gauge whether or not God is happy with you or not. That is not spiritual growth. So I've recently shared this verse, which has been especially influential in my life, with a couple of you recently. And this is, if I've ever asked to like sign a card, would be appropriate to put a verse, I put this verse. It's been very influential in my life. Psalm 37, 4 and 5. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." And there was a time in my life where I wanted something so bad that I claimed this verse. But the problem was that I was reading the verse wrongly. I was reading it backwards. And this was kind of my interpretation of this verse. God will give me what I want if I delight myself in him. God will bring it to pass if I commit my way unto him. What I did when I was thinking wrongly about this verse is I shifted the focus from God to me. And I wanted what I wanted, and I was trying to almost strong-arm God into giving me what I want. And what this verse actually means is the more I delight in God, the more I spend time with him, the more I grow closer to him, the more my desires are going to match up with his desires. And I am going to find joy, and I'm going to find peace, and I'm going to find satisfaction in delighting myself in God. Have you guys done the same thing? Like, God, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. God, if you, and we start to put all these conditions and we interpret this scripture in a very wrong way, God's going to give you joy. You got to continually grow in your relationship with Christ. Colossians 3, "You are risen with Christ and you're going to change." That's the result of being risen and changed. So you must continually grow, and don't be like this guy spiritually. Where you take one of those things, and knowledge is good, but you've got to rightly apply it. You can't allow yourself to become puffed up. You can't allow yourself to become prideful. Is there something out of balance in your life today? Have you had a wrong have you had a misconception about what spiritual growth is? Because it's all about your relationship with Jesus Christ. And John MacArthur, in his article, he said this: "Spiritual growth is matching my practice with my position. This is who I am in Jesus Christ. I've got to live like it. I've got to match that to who Christ says I already am." And God says, we talked about it on Wednesday night, that you are his child. You are a new creature. You've been given a new heart. You are forgiven. You are loved. You are valuable. You are created in His image. You are righteous. You are a sinner saved by His grace. So guys, question for you, do you live like it? Are you growing to try to match your practice with your position? That, hey, this is how I live. It's going to match up to who God has already declared me to be in Jesus Christ. So in future weeks, as we go forward with this, we're going to try to lay some foundational things, and we're going to use this book. It's a book that was recommended to me. I started reading it. It was very helpful to me. So I'm going to use this as a starting off point. It's called Visual Theology. Now, that's kind of a scary title, okay? He's made some very foundational truths, very basic and simple. There's a lot of pictures, which I've downloaded, which will help us understand. So yes, I hear some people excited about pictures. So this is going to kind of help us give a foundation for spiritual growth. We're going to go back to the basics. Here's kind of the categories it breaks it down into. And this is the categories we're going to use. Grow close to Christ. So we're going to focus, first of all, on our relationship with Him. Understanding the work of Christ. What is God trying to accomplish? What is He doing in my life? What's He doing in other people's lives? And then we got to become like Christ. That's when we start to live out the truths of who He's made us to be, who He's declared us to be, and then living for Christ. Moving into service. Moving into ministry. What has God called you to do? So we're going to lay the foundations in those four categories, and let's close in prayer. Father, we are thankful that You are merciful, that You are gracious.